Welcome to the Nowracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, A.
And I'm B. Today, we are looking at a fascinating shift in the AI economy, where a $500 fine-tuning job just dethroned some of the most expensive frontier models on the market for a specific enterprise task.
We also have a major medical breakthrough to discuss. After a 14-year collaborative effort, researchers have achieved unprecedented success in a preclinical HIV vaccine study, successfully generating broadly neutralizing antibodies in primates.
And we will be covering the devastating 7.1 magnitude earthquake that struck Japan's Kumamoto Prefecture, looking at the structural failures and the broader implications for the region's infrastructure moving forward.
Plus, we have updates on Anthropic's Claude code interface and the architecture behind Moonshot AI's latest model in our roundup.
There is a lot of ground to cover today, so let's dive right in.
Let's start today with a story that has massive implications for how businesses deploy artificial intelligence. A team of researchers at Fermisense has just published a technical write-up detailing how they trained a 9 billion parameter QN model using reinforcement learning, and the results are definitely turning some heads.
Turning heads might be an understatement. The real headline here is the cost. They achieved this fine-tune for approximately $500 in GPU time. And with that minimal investment, they managed to hit an 87.3% score on a simulated e-commerce catalog review task.
And the kicker is that this 87.3% score reportedly outperformed five different frontier model configurations. We are talking about taking an open-weight model, spending the equivalent of a mid-range smartphone on compute, and beating the massive, generalized models that cost millions to train and run.
Exactly. To put the methodology into perspective, the training process utilized 177,767 review episodes. These were based on the Amazon Berkeley Objects dataset. The whole process took roughly 3.5 days running on just two RTX Pro 6000 GPUs.
The authors behind this write-up are Justinus Zlatiodunas, Joris Zelinskis, Fabian Hildesheim, Joel Heinzel, and Gediminas Pazera. What they are highlighting here is a growing trend where companies are starting to move away from expensive, general-purpose frontier models.
Right, because if you have a highly specific, repetitive task, like catalog review in this case, you don't necessarily need a model that can write poetry or code in Python. You just need it to make accurate judgments on product metadata. By using reinforcement learning to essentially own the judgment for these workflows, businesses can drastically cut costs.
It really reduces their dependence on external API providers. But we do need to ask the critical question here. Is this a repeatable breakthrough across different industries, or is this what some researchers call a benchmark trap?
That is the caveat. The results rely entirely on a simulation and scoring system designed by Fermisense themselves. It has not yet been independently verified or replicated by a third party. When you design the test and train specifically for that test using reinforcement learning, you are naturally going to see highly optimized results.
Even with that caveat, it signals a potential shift. Does this mean the frontier model economic model is in trouble? Probably not for general applications. But for high-volume, repetitive enterprise tasks, this proves that a modest investment in fine-tuning can yield performance that rivals much more expensive options.
It makes you wonder how many enterprise companies are currently paying premium API fees for tasks that a fine-tuned 9 billion parameter model could handle locally for pennies on the dollar. If I'm a CTO looking at my cloud compute bill right now, this Fermisense paper is exactly the kind of research I'm bringing to my engineering team.
Moving on to a massive story in the biotech space, researchers have announced an unprecedented success in a preclinical study for a new HIV vaccine. The study was published in the journal Nature on June 30th, 2026, and it represents the culmination of a 14-year collaboration.
14 years of intense research. This was a joint effort between the La Jolla Institute for Immunology, Scripps Research, and IAVI. And what they have achieved in rhesus macaques is genuinely groundbreaking. They managed to generate high levels of broadly neutralizing antibodies, often referred to as bNAbs.
Developing an HIV vaccine has been one of the most notoriously difficult challenges in modern medicine. The virus has a rapid mutation rate, it is incredibly adept at hiding from the immune system, and it uses something called a glycan shield to protect itself.
That glycan shield is essentially a coating of sugars that makes it very hard for the immune system to recognize the virus as a threat. To bypass this, the researchers used a germline targeting strategy. It is a fascinating approach where they essentially walk the B cells from a naive state, step by step, to a state where they are capable of producing these rare, broadly neutralizing antibodies.
And the results are staggering. These antibodies can neutralize over 70% of known HIV isolates. Because of this success in primate models, human clinical trials for this vaccine candidate have already commenced.
It is a huge milestone. But it also brings up a broader discussion in the public health sphere. Given that HIV prevention is already possible through highly effective tools like PrEP, and we have excellent antiretroviral therapies, some critics ask why we are still pouring so many resources into a vaccine.
The primary argument for the necessity of a vaccine comes down to global access and adherence. PrEP requires strict daily adherence or regular injections, and it requires consistent access to healthcare infrastructure, which simply isn't a reality in many parts of the world most affected by the epidemic.
Exactly. A vaccine is the only realistic path to true global eradication. But we do have to temper our expectations. Historically, moving from success in primate models to human protection is where HIV vaccines have repeatedly failed.
That is the ultimate hurdle. Previous vaccine candidates have failed in late-stage clinical trials precisely because human immune systems didn't respond with the same robust antibody production seen in macaques. But researchers are hopeful that this germline targeting approach, which fundamentally guides the immune system's learning process, will translate better to human trials.
We will be watching those human clinical trials closely. If this germline targeting strategy works in humans, it doesn't just change the landscape for HIV. It could provide a blueprint for developing vaccines against other rapidly mutating viruses as well.
We need to turn our attention to breaking news out of Japan. On July 28, 2026, at 4:27 p.m. local time, a devastating 7.1 magnitude earthquake struck Kumamoto Prefecture on the southern island of Kyushu.
This was a massive seismic event. It reached the maximum level 7 on the Japanese Shindo seismic intensity scale. To put that in perspective, this is the first time we have seen a Shindo 7 intensity recorded since the Noto Peninsula earthquake back in January of 2024.
The epicenter was alarmingly shallow, at a depth of approximately 10 kilometers, which explains the extreme surface level intensity. Tragically, the casualties include at least 2 confirmed deaths, hundreds injured, and several people are still reported missing.
A lot of the rescue focus right now is centered on Kashima, where an Aeon Mall partially collapsed. The structural failure of a modern commercial building like that during a Shindo 7 event is going to be a major point of investigation for structural engineers in the coming months.
Absolutely. Following the quake, a tsunami advisory was immediately issued for the Ariake and Yatsushiro seas, though thankfully that advisory was lifted within 2 hours without major incident.
The infrastructure disruption across the region has been severe. Shinkansen bullet train services were suspended, leaving thousands stranded. Power outages hit approximately 40,000 homes, and the Aso Kumamoto Airport was forced to close.
This strikes a particularly painful chord for the Kumamoto region, which is still sensitive due to its history of major seismic activity, including the devastating quakes that hit the area a decade ago. It highlights the ongoing vulnerability of Japan's southern islands to these high-intensity tremors.
The recovery efforts are going to be extensive. Given that this is the second major earthquake to strike Japan in 2026, it puts an enormous strain on national emergency resources and raises serious questions about whether current building codes are truly sufficient for shallow level 7 events.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up today's briefing.
Sounds good. We have some interesting developer interface updates and a follow-up on yesterday's AI architecture news to run through.
Let's start with a look at how developers are interacting with terminal-based AI agents.
There's an active feature request, issue number 82052, on the GitHub repository for Anthropic's Claude Code. A user is asking if the pull request status colors can remain visible on unfocused rows within the agent view.
Right now, when you have multiple concurrent coding sessions running, only the actively selected row keeps its color coding. The rest wash out to a faint gray. It sounds like a minor UI tweak, but it really highlights the friction developers are facing as they try to manage complex, multi-agent workflows entirely within a command line environment.
Following up on our coverage of Moonshot AI's Kimi K3 release yesterday, the company has published a paper detailing the architecture behind it, called Kimi Linear. It uses a hybrid approach that interleaves Kimi Delta attention layers with multi-head latent attention in a 3-to-1 ratio.
This is how they are achieving such massive context windows efficiently. By relying heavily on this specialized diagonal plus low-rank transition matrix, Kimi Linear reduces KV cache usage by up to 75% and achieves up to 6 times higher decoding throughput for a 1 million token context.
That is going to do it for today's episode of the Noracast Tech Briefing.
Thank you for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow with more deep dives and updates from across the tech landscape.
Stay safe, and we will see you then.
Thank you.